There's quite a bit of a change to Donegal this time around. Donald Cavan of the newsroom now goes through some of those changes.
The 2016 general election sees Donegal move from being 2 3-seater constituencies to 1 5-seater. Part of the south of the county, including Ballyshannon and Bundoran, has moved into the Sligo Leitrim constituency. Deputy Tilly McGinley is retiring. He will not be returning to Dáil Éireann. The other 5 sitting TDs join 9 other candidates in seeking re-election. There are 116,680 people eligible to vote in the Donegal constituency in the election on Friday, February 26th. Islanders will vote on the previous day, Thursday, February 25th. The largest concentration of voters is in the Letterkenny electoral area with 31,274 registered voters, followed by Inishowen with 30,582 and Lenties with 22,318. There are 19,663 voters in the Stranorra electoral area. In the Donegal electoral area, there are 14,952 registered in the Donegal constituency. A further 6,885 people in the Donegal electoral area are now within the constituency of Sligo Leitrim.
Thank you very much for that, Donald. Now, some of the candidates you'll know, some you perhaps are not quite as familiar with. So to get things going, we'll give each candidate about a minute to set out their stall or use it as they see fit. And we'll start with the Green Party's Paula Flanagan. Paula.
Hi there. Yes, I'm standing first-time candidate for the Green Party for this election. There were two things, I suppose, that really got me to come forward, to step into the ring, so to speak. The first really was the lack of women who were coming forward at the time I announced my candidacy. And the second reason really was the need for a green voice. I think Donegal is well suited to be looking to the future in terms of much more of a green economy, renewables and so on. So those two things together, I think, are really the platform that I've been out and about talking about. And I've had a good reception for. So I'd be really honoured to represent the women of Donegal and the new economy which we need for Donegal.
Okay, we'll certainly hear more from you, of course, Paula, as the evening wears on. Now we'll go to independent Desi Shields.
Good evening, Greg. I'm an independent county councillor since May 2014. I'm married with one child, a three-month-old boy. Is Gilgore Lumsa, agus Sean Tavik the Lumsa and Changa Lord, agus Cossin, agus Mayor Radio and the Giltic the and Majin Shaw, a Canchfri and Gilgore agus and Changa. Since I've gone under the county council, I've been attempting to, I suppose, put right some of the wrongs at local authority level that I've seen existing over the years. The other big thing which has become very obvious to me in my time, certainly as a county council, and prior to that, my wife's a GP, Danielle Mulhern, and I've a real deep knowledge of the healthcare issues that are in Donegal. One of the biggest things which I have a real, real difficulty with the government and previous governments is the fact that Donegal people have been forced to travel to Galway and indeed Dublin for cancer care. A big issue at the doors has been the fact that an awful lot of people are unable to obtain routine operations in Donegal, despite that we have a...
Well, Councillor, we're up at 1 minute there, and of course health is going to form an important part of this debate. Sitting Deputy Joe McHugh, you're very welcome along. A minute or a minute and a half, just to set out the stall.
Thanks, Greg, and thanks for the invite to the debate this evening. I was in opposition for 11 years before getting into government in 2011. I've spent the last 5 years working hard on behalf of the people of Donegal to try to get resources into the county at a time when there was very little flexibility and very little room to do that. But in the last 18 months since becoming minister, I've used my position to try to get an equal and fair share into this region. I feel I've delivered. I have a track record of delivery in most parts of this county, and I want to continue with that work. I think I have the experience in opposition, the experience in government, and I also have the relationships with people in different government departments to deliver for this region, a region that has been neglected for a long, long period of time.
Thank you very much for that. Independent Thomas Pringle.
Thanks very much, Greg. My name is Thomas Pringle. I've been independent TD in Donegal since 2011 and hope to be re-elected on Friday in the general election. I've been very active campaigning across the county against the government's austerity measures, campaigning against the household and property tax and the water tax. I'm currently the only member of the Oireachtas who actually supports the boycott of the water charges as the only way to actually defeat the water tax and defeat Irish water. General election 2016, I believe, is about and the type of society we want to see developed here in the country. For too long, over the last two administrations, we have seen a transfer of wealth from the lowest and most poorest people in the country to the wealthiest people, where we are at the stage now where the top 10% of people have 58% of the income in the state. And so I think we have to build a society made up of communities and not a corporate economy, and we have to dismantle that. And we have to put our citizens first, put our people first, and develop policies and a government that actually works for the people rather than for big business.
Okay, thank you very much. Sinn Féin's Piers Doherty.
Thank you, Greg. Well, since 2010, after taking the Fianna Fáil Green Party government to the High Court and winning the subsequent by-election, I've used every opportunity to me, both inside and outside the Dáil, to raise the concerns of the people of Donegal, be that in relation to unemployment, immigration, the lack of investment in infrastructure, the destruction of our coastal communities by closing our fisheries, and many other areas, particularly the area of health and the underinvestment in our hospital here in Letterkenny General Hospital in our community. In this election, I'm asking people to vote for Sinn Féin, to vote for myself and for Gary Doherty and Padraig McLaughlin, because not only do we want to be re-elected, myself and Padraig, but we want to be in a position to actually deliver on the commitments that we have, to invest in our healthcare, to fix the problems we have in Letterkenny General Hospital, to roll out the additional 3 million home health hours that our country needs and our elderly people need, so that we can scrap water charges and property tax and reverse many of the cuts that were done under the Fine Gael and indeed the Fianna Fáil government. That's the choices that the Irish people face. As part of my role as finance spokesperson, I've put together plans that the party want to implement to deal with these issues, and we're asking the public on Friday to endorse those plans.
Okay, Fianna Fáil's Charlie McConnellogue.
Thank you, Greg, and thank you to Highland Radio as well for hosting this debate and giving the public across County Donegal the opportunity to hear from the candidates. I've been a TD now for the last 5 years, and prior to that I was elected to Donegal County Council for 18 months from 2009. I brought up outside Glenelly on a family farm and studied economics, history and politics in UCD. And for the last 3 or 4 years, I've been the party, the opposition spokesperson on education in the Dáil. During that time and during the last 5 years, Greg, I've raised issues of exceptional importance to our county, such as issues such as education, issues such as health in particular, where we have seen services deteriorate in a very rapid basis, and also key issues around infrastructure and in broadband. And alongside that, raising local and national issues at national level, I've also worked very hard for people on an individual basis. I'm putting myself forward on that platform and track record of hard work, and I'm also seeking to get a mandate from the public to continue to represent our county over the next 5 years and try to develop what is the very real potential of our county, which in many ways remains untapped.
Okay, and finally, Councillor Ian McGarvey.
Thank you, Greg. I welcome the opportunity of coming here and taking part in the debate. I immediately discovered once I been nominated that I was going to go for election. The first call I had was, no poster in some towns. I refrained from putting any up deliberately because I was very surprised afterward. I visited places like Letterkenny, they're all over the place, and even one of the other towns, the same thing. But having said that, I have been in politics since 1974. I've had a lifelong interest in the welfare of people. From our young to our elderly, has been associated with them as well. I see the deficiencies in Donegal as needs to be addressed by an entire team, whatever team goes away from Donegal. And I think party politics over a long period now has been difficult for to get things really done. And I would look at rural Donegal and I would look at the many things that is necessary, particularly in services for care of the elderly and even health care as well, because I come in contact with it every day. I know about the unemployment. I know about CE schemes that are necessary and being used in the county to, say, absorb some of the people who would otherwise be available for full-time work. And I know from many of the issues being associated with Donegal County Council, no matter what issues one refers to within Donegal, I've been associated with them down the years.
Okay,
even people's rights and other services for rural Donegal.
Councillor McGarvey, sorry to cut across you, but we'll tease those issues out as we go. We opened up the emails and phone lines over the course of the last week, and health has been the people's key concern, and not least the situation as it relates to the future of long-term care beds at Lifford Remelton and Stranola Hospitals. I might go to the government representative first on this. Deputy McHugh, have you not been hamstrung to some extent in that the independents have made their stance clear on this? Fianna Fáil have put it in writing that they will make sure these beds stay there. Gerry Adams has put it in writing that his party will make sure these long-term beds will be supported into the future. But you can't give any commitment in that regard. Why would anyone then, who's got an interest in health, or at least in this issue, vote for your party?
Well, it's important to, you know, be clear as to what has happened here. This is the first time in the history of the state there's been such a massive injection of funding into primary health care. That's the first thing. The second thing is, in relation to the three hospitals, yes, there did go out a communication from Catherine Lynch's office, and it did use the word replacement. I contacted Leo Varadkar straight away. He put it on the Dáil record that these hospitals did have a viable future. Furthermore,
he didn't say specifically. He said that he imagined they would. He didn't actually guarantee anything.
Yes, and that's why I continued my work with the HSE, both nationally and locally, where the HSE have put on record that these hospitals are not closing, that these hospitals will be needed, and that the long-term beds will not be moved. Now, I think it's a job of whoever's elected, the five TDs, and Councillor McGarvey talked about the team that will be elected, to ensure that we work with the policy we have from the HSE, that there is a viable future. And I'm confident in the local HSE team that they've said in 5 years' time, 10 years' time, that there's going to be a need for this capacity. And what I'm saying to the electorate in these three regions is, I have a track record in ensuring services stay open. 12 months ago, we had a problem with cancer services here in this county, and I didn't go to Endicenny. I didn't get a letter from Endicenny. I worked very closely with Leo Varadkar to ensure that the cancer services got the additional resources that they needed. Mm-hmm. And furthermore, I have a track record when Malinhead Coast Guard Station was under pressure.
Yeah, but could you not have got a commitment on this issue? You know, I mean, it's really, really potentially severely damaged your campaign, hasn't it?
No, I don't believe in election eve promises. I don't do that. I've read Gerry Adams' letter, and I've read Micheál Martin's letter, and it's a commitment to ensuring that the long-term beds stayed open. And that's no different to what I'm saying. I'm saying it here today. And if I'm returned and if I'm elected, this will be an issue where not alone are we going to be looking at retaining the present beds. Like, Micheál Martin just goes as far as saying to keep the long-term beds that are there.
I want to build
on that, because the demographics are showing there's going to be more elderly people. Mm. Even with the new hospital in Letterkenny, 120-bed hospital, there's still going to be a need for this capacity.
Who's building that hospital? Do we know yet?
No, it's just, but it's proposed as a public-private partnership.
I'll come to Councillor Ian McGarvey on this issue shortly, if you don't mind, but the two gentlemen that raised it with Leo Varadkar, I believe, are sitting here as well, namely Pierce Doherty and also Charlie McConnell. Charlie, Deputy McConnell, your assessment of this situation?
Yeah, well, I do think what happened here is that we have seen the government in the last number of months reheat much promised funding and remarket it in the run-up to the general election in terms to try and win votes. And in doing so, in relation to the health, the community hospital capital investment plan, they let the cat out of the bag in relation to the fact that they didn't actually have planned capital investment for Remelton Stranorla or St Joseph's Stranorla or Lifford Community Hospitals. Other hospitals have had it. But there are HICWA standards which are gradually being applied to the community hospitals. In order to meet those standards over the next number of years, it's essential that funding is put in place to bring them up to that standard. Now, the 2016 to 2021 capital investment plan, which has been outlined, simply kept community hospital beds at its current level, because what it was proposing to do was to replace the Lifford, St Joseph and Remelton beds with a new one in Letterkenny. Now, in terms of discussion we had previously on that, Letterkenny Community Hospital is very much needed. The site is there, but it's needed in terms of increasing capacity, not in terms of actually taking capacity away from other areas. And our commitment is to actually maintain the hospitals that are there, invest in them so that the HICWA standards can come up, and also revisit the capital services plan and try and bring
about increased investment. And given the fact that your party leaders made this commitment, is that a blanket commitment across the entire country, so? or was it specific to these three?
Well, I haven't discussed it with them in terms of the rest of the country. I've raised it in terms of the issues pertinent to Donegal Community Hospital.
So and what I'm trying to say is that what I'm trying to say then is that if I live in Mayo and I have the same concerns,
I'm not aware of any other part of the country where that capital services plan actually outlined that existing beds were going to be replaced, or whether it's where it said other hospitals were not going to be funded to bring them up to HECWA standards. The only three I'm aware of is the three in Donegal, okay. And that's what we've given a very clear commitment on, Greg.
Yeah, Councillor Ian McArthur, do you want to come in on this?
I do, yes, of course, because I'll tell you.
Did you have the committee situation sorted out?
I was in it today. Of course we did.
Okay.
No bother, because the three now are a joint group, and this is important. The other thing, I was even in the home today because I visited on a case in there too. Knowing the need and knowing the locality as well. In fact, I have a call from HSE Guarantee. There are 14 there at the moment, long term. There are 9 part time and so on, and short term. But the one thing certain, sure, and that is this. Nobody, and I mean nobody, wants to move from their own locality. The other thing people would refer to me, and that is this. Travelling even to Letterkenny, to a far larger place and all the rest of it, removes, if you like, the personal touch that they have there where they are now. And as I say to you, everybody who's in it and everybody who visits it wants to see it there. And I think we feel as an elected, but may I say one thing, Greg? You see, we can have all the promises here today, and Deputy McHugh knows, or Minister McHugh knows, I talked to him the first day this was released in the town hall in Remelton. My serious problem is this. When you get back into government, whoever gets there, what the party will decide if they have a majority, it'll be very difficult for the one individual, even his inner party, to make the case.
That's where the importance of the party leader's letters came in. I mean, Piers Doherty can probably answer that one directly.
Yeah,
what does this letter mean?
We don't even know who the Taoiseach is.
Well, we have to hypothesise, or else there's no point having these conversations.
Well, I think we need a bit of honesty in debates, because I've been listening to a lot of election debates, and local politicians will say whatever they need to say to get elected. Like, when I asked Derry Adams, can we make a commitment to these hospitals, and it's not something that we want to be doing in terms of making commitments right across the country, but it needs to fit into our plan. So in terms of our plan, does our plan allow for the closure of long-stay beds? Of course it doesn't, because our plan is saying that we are actually going to build 3,800 additional long-stay beds, because that is what the country needs. We need them in Donegal, and we need them in other parts of the country. Now, Fianna Fáil have provided the letter, and that's to be welcomed. But what they're not saying is actually under the last government in Fianna Fáil, they closed 13 beds in St Joseph's. They took away 25 staff members in St Joseph's. Lifford has seen long-stay beds reduced to 3 because that government refused to invest in the capital investment in Donegal. So a lot of this here...
Can your party return these then?
That's what annoys the public out there. You know, when you have politicians saying,
can
do this now,
okay, but
actually
can
the
party return? Can your party return these
beds? What we need is 3,800 additional beds within the country.
So why is Gerry Adams issuing specific letters then?
Because we
were
asked to do so. What I'm criticising is the fact that when they had an opportunity in government, what they actually did was not maintain the beds, not increase the level of beds, actually they closed beds in St Joseph's. That's fact from the HSE, and they did the same in Lifford. What we're saying, and because I've raised this with the HSE last December, we are in crisis mode. And it's not just in terms of Remelton, Lifford and St Joseph's, but there is not enough long-stay beds in this county at this point in time. 4 years ago, the HSE told us that we needed 500 beds by next year. We now have a situation where on any given day, there is about 6 long-stay beds in the county. We have people who are leaving long-stay beds to go in for minor operations in Letterkenny General Hospital. When the operations are finished, their bed is gone.
Yeah.
So what we need is a comprehensive health policy. So Fianna Fáil are putting actually less money on the table over the next 5 years for health than Fine Gael has. And what Fine Gael are putting on the table is absolutely pittance. Going to continue.
So
the
proportionally wise, then, how much money is Sinn Féin putting on the
3.3
table?
€3.3 billion. Well, Fianna Fáil, I think, what's your figures, Charlie, in terms of health spending?
We can probably come back to that.
It's tiny. Okay. What we're doing is actually, instead of the tax cuts, you know, and they've been played out a lot in terms of the politics of this campaign, the USC, which will benefit the wealthy society. What we're going to do is invest in health system, because I am sick to death of hearing people who are in pain, who can't get appointments in our hospitals, who can't get in to see our consultants, and the 2,800 people who had to spend nights in trolley and then being charged €75 for the luxury of having to spend the night in the corridor in Letterkenny General Hospital.
Yes, Craig, I think what this whole episode has shown is just how out of touch the government parties have become with ordinary people who are suffering on the ground. Local care by local people is always the best care. My wife has cared for patients in Lifford. I've had relations in St. Joseph's Hospital in the last year. What you'll find with those people, if you talk to me, to the people caring or the people who are in there, is they want to be in their own community, being cared by people they know locally. They don't want to be centralised to any particular town. I'm here in Letterkenny, but I don't expect and don't want people from rural areas to have to come to Letterkenny or indeed go to any other big town. The reality is that the government have set out their stall at national level, and if truth be told, Joe is powerless to do anything about it. The reality is if Fine Gael are returned, those community hospitals will be downgraded.
So what do you do then as an independent then? I mean, I'm hearing some very strong commitments from Sinn Féin and Fianna Fáil, but from an independence perspective, you say there's no point voting Deputy McHugh in. I'm sure he'd argue greatly with that because he's part of a bigger machine. What's the point in voting you in, though? Is that not a wasted vote, then?
No.
Because at least he, as a part of a party, he's got some chance of forming policy.
No, you see, I think and I think my fellow independents will agree, actually, and this is a message I'm getting on the doors, the most powerful thing any independent can do, actually, in politics and national life at the moment is deal with healthcare issues, because if anybody looks at the state of healthcare in Donegal and the cuts and the current situation we've been left with, people having to travel to Galway, Dublin, all that kind of stuff, we can't have routine operations here despite the fact we've got a perfectly good and viable hospital in Letterkenny.
Mm-hmm.
The political parties are quite happy with the current state of our healthcare system to continue. That, you know, in fairness to Pearce, his party have not been in power, but Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, the last successive governments have left us with the healthcare system that we currently have. And what independents can do, and I know Ian will do, and I know Thomas will do as well, is we will shout from the rooftops and we will do
but
so day
not,
after
that
day.
That doesn't make you feel any better.
It's not about feeling better,
so
Greg.
What is it,
it's about representing the people on the ground in Donegal. And what this particular episode to do with the community hospitals has shown, it has shown that the public are out there and are ready to come together and are ready to they're not going to stand back anymore when health cuts come in.
We'll come to Paula Flanagan very, very shortly, Paula. Well, Thomas Pringle, firstly, maybe you can comment on this, and then secondly, maybe outline to us what you've managed to achieve over the course of your term in the Dáil in terms of health, if you can quantify that. I know we haven't been in power, but how you think you've influenced it or any positive impact.
Okay. Well, just in relation to the community hospital situation, the current situation is that the statement was made by the department back in at the end of January, and the department's intention is to replace Lifford, St. Joseph's and Remelton, and regardless of any promises that have been made in the run-up to the election, this campaign will have to continue to make sure that the beds are retained in the three hospitals, and they are maintained. And we do have a crisis in care of the elderly where we do need a substantial number of beds to be built to provide for the growing population. There's absolutely no doubt about that. And Joe talked about a record level of funding announcement at the end of January, where he announced €30 million. But that's over the next 5 years. There's actually only €400,000 going to be spent this year in 2016. So what we're getting from the government is just a repackaging, a five-year plan being announced where all the money is backloaded, and it'll be 2021 before we see any actually of this money being spent. In terms of your other question in relation to the health services, I have been very vocal in raising health services in Dublin. I used the opportunity through leaders' questions to raise specific issues in where Donegal patients were actually being excluded from treatment in hospitals in Dublin because they weren't from the Dublin catchment area. And there are some very specialised treatments that take place in Dublin that all patients from across the whole country have to get access to. And I raised that issue very vocally in terms of Donegal patients, and we got some progress on that.
Okay.
And that's the kind of thing that as independents we can use the mechanisms within the Dáil to actually raise those issues and put them on the agenda.
Paula Flanagan, lastly.
I think what's happening in Donegal is a symptom of what's happening. So to use a health analogy, health is not a commodity, you know, and that's what it's become in this country. And I think we need to take it down to the lowest level of complexity. So we need to be looking at patients, not politicians, making the decision. We have a community health sort of infrastructure in this county and across the country. We need to be working from that point, not from creating these big on movable buildings. And it's not about buildings, it's about people.
Well, one person who emailed us in said the orthodontic department at Letterkenny General Hospital has got so bad. My daughter was put on the waiting list as an urgent case and told she would be treated within 6 months. She now has been waiting 22 months and rising. DACC also seeking what commitments are there in terms of cancer care generally. It seems to be things aren't very good at Letterkenny University Hospital now. Charlie McConnell.
Yeah, very much so. Just that particular point there you raised in relation to orthodontics is something I have contacted the Department of Health and the Sealta Hospital Group about in the last... I've been on to them several times over the last few months, but particularly again the last month, because you have a situation at Letterkenny General Hospital where the orthodontic section of it for children is actually managed by the Sligo. Sligo Hospital Budget manages it. But there's four orthodontic chairs there. And currently there's two full-time orthodontists with additional ones travelling up on Thursday, Friday. Now, but can I say this?
Yeah, go briefly.
Out of those four orthodontic chairs, there's only one of them operational.
Three are broke. So what's
and
the Fianna Fáil's plan for the HSE then?
Our plan for the HSE, first of all, is we would keep the HSE, but we would try and address the difficulties that are in it and that we would properly
fund
it.
Is it not a disaster though? Many people feel
it's a disaster. But I mean, you have to have some structure, Greg, managing the health service. The thing is it needs to operate efficiently and effectively. And in order for that to happen, you need to have proper leadership at government level. Now, instead, what we've seen over the last 5 years is the current government, shortly after they came to office, well, first of all, they promised universal health insurance, but they also committed to abolishing the HSE. Yet 5 years later, the HSE is there. But for the last 5 years, it has been under a death sentence. Mm-hmm. And alongside that, then, you've had false budgets announced each year. Now, we know there's been difficulties in national finance, but alongside that, there's been false budgets issued each year where the money given is insufficient to meet the demand that year. Now, when that's the level of leadership you get then at national level, it corrodes the system, and that drips down through it, through the HSE, to the hospital groups, to the various hospitals. And that has been at the source of the problem we've had over the last year,
Deputy
where it's actually got progressively worse.
Deputy John McHugh, we could literally do the morning chat shows and news bulletins on the health service in this county and Letterkenny University Hospital. The stories that you hear, you know, you couldn't take them home with you because you couldn't sleep at night, but this is the reality that people are going through. This is on your doorstep. Over the last 5 years, it seems to have gotten worse. We have very senior doctors or clinic experts down there coming up saying we can't do our job. What's going to happen? I mean, why? I ask you the same question. Why would you re-elect Fine Gael or Labour, given the history there? And it's a question I want you to answer. It's not a statement.
Yeah. I mean, look, I know there's a lot of people listening to this show this evening who, if they're not sick themselves, they've got a relative sick, and it's a very, very difficult time for them. And the constant feedback I'm getting is the people who do get into the system, and there is a difficulty and a challenge around that, they give nothing but excellent service, and they talk about
that's
it. And
rhetoric, though,
No, that's feedback. And I spoke to somebody
today.
Yeah,
but it's like the frontline staff are doing a great job, but they're working in very difficult circumstances.
Yeah, look, the challenges are there. And if you go back, even and Charlie talked about false budgets, I mean, the way it worked before was Fianna Fáil threw money at it, and Wendover went over the top. He mentioned false budgets. I want to say that, Greg.
Okay.
And the point I want to make is this. Leo Varadkar has been in the Department of Health now for a very short period of time, and I've spoken to him personally on this. And if Fine Gael returned to power, who knows who will be in that position? But what is needed here is, and money will not sort all the problems. There's 13 billion going into the health service management,
and also
instilling confidence into people who are doing a good job. And we have to constantly, acknowledge that fact. There's people doing good work in there.
Greg, the fact is. When people do get into the health services, they have a very good experience generally. But the only way to stop people, to save money in the health services, is to stop people accessing them. And that's what this government has done. The very first thing Leo Varadkar done was he lengthened the waiting lists and the length of time that people had to wait. The health services, Fianna Fáil in the 1980s took 3,000 beds out of it. Fianna Fáil again took beds out of the health services in 2009. Fine Gael continued that. And that is the problem. There is not enough capacity in there to deal with the patients that need to be treated. And the more procedures you carry out, the more money you spend. So the only way that the government can control expenditure in the health services is by not doing procedures. And that's what the problem is with Letterkenny at the moment.
Piers Doherty?
Yeah, look, see, everybody is, you know, I think standing for election will agree
that the health system is failing the public. We know it because you can't deny that. We hear the stories in our doorsteps when we're out canvassing, we hear them coming into our clinics, and everybody will say, well, we're going to invest in the health service and all the rest. The real question here is, who has the plan to fix the health system? Sinn Féin has the plan to fix the health system, because we are different from what Fine Gael and from what Fianna Fáil are offering, which is a continuation of the two-tier health system, which is about privatisation plus a public health system that neither is fit for purpose. What we are saying is you have to invest, you know, and of course you need value for money, but you cannot address the overcrowding in Letterkenny John O'Neill Hospital. 2,800 of people in Donegal spent nights in trolley in that hospital last year. We have waiting lists, urology, 42% of waiting lists in urology in that hospital over 12 months. Now, how do we fix that? You fix it by you employ the additional nurses, the additional consultants, the additional orthodontists, the additional dentists and the additional dentist staff. That is what is provided in our programme. What we do not, and what's a disservice to the people that's listening to this programme, is glib kind of answers about investing in the health service as if it's going to actually fix the system. My job is to scrutinise what other parties are doing, because that's my role as finance spokesperson. And the other parties do not have a plan to address the chaos that we see in the health system. What they want to do is continuation of it. What Fianna Fáil's main part of their plan is, bring back the National Treatment Purchase Fund, which is about privatising treatment of
public
health.
Did that not work, though?
No, the reason you have consultants going out at this point in time saying that the crisis that's happening in our health system, not just in Letterkenny, but right across the board, is because there has been a lack of investment into our public system. Like, people who have deep pockets are able to get treated, you know, within weeks, but people who don't, and I've been in that situation myself, where I had a scare myself in terms of just I thought I had a heart problem. When I was going to to see the consultant, 15 months later, I was thinking, you know, how stupid was I? Mm. Like, if something happened between that period, then it could have ended up where my father did.
Desi
Shields, terms of a heart attack.
You're simply wrong. I'm not being facetious for a second. You discovered that one of the options being looked at was robots, effectively, if I'm not mistaken, didn't you? I mean, that was the
exactly, Greg, and I think that just about summed up the attitude at government level to healthcare in Donegal, that we were supposed to be going to be subjected to the spectacle of a robotic device running around the accident emergency department.
So
at
where do you see the
General
problem
Hospital.
Being then? Before we take a break.
Well, the problem in many levels, and you know, everybody's here tonight in their role as politicians, and one of the big disappointments an awful lot of people have had with both James Reilly and indeed Leo Varadkar is they appear to have stopped thinking as doctors and have turned into politicians. People on the ground, those actually involved in providing healthcare, want to see much more facilities and resources being given to GPs and indeed the local health centres. There's a lot of very competent nurses and indeed GPs at local level that are stymied in terms of what they can do. And we have an overcrowded hospital at Letterkenny, but it's a fact of life. The fact of the matter is that when you get referred to Letterkenny General Hospital, you're faced sometimes with 24-hour, 12-hour, whatever it is, waits, when in reality you should be attending Letterkenny General Hospital. The numbers go
in. Well, magically, the trolley crisis is over. There hasn't been anyone in andrology.
Well, we know what has happened in the few months in the run-up to the election. Certain services and aspects of the service at Letterkenny General Hospital, indeed throughout the country, have been manipulated so that waiting lists won't be
Definitely, because is that the case? Because I know you're a lone government voice here. Is that the case? Have the figures been manipulated so that we can't report every day that there's 8, 9, 10? It went from 17, 18 to zero.
No, I mean, look, there's always a pressure.
Which is great, by the way. Is there a story behind
it? No, like every January, every beginning of February, there's always the pressures on the system.
No, this is not normal. If you look at the figures, it's not normal that there's...
Greg, there's actually 22 Donegal people were treated in the Beacon Clinic for heart conditions in January. I was down there I actually collected somebody from it to take them home, and it was full of Donegal people because they were being sent from Letterkenny General Hospital.
But there's a reason for that, Thomas, because...
But if you provide the services in the hospital, they can deal with the patients that are here, and that's the problem that we have.
Yeah, but there's a reason for that. If people are on the list for a certain amount of time, if we have a system that that can go elsewhere. And the people I've spoken to, this.
But you're confident the figures aren't being massaged.
They are being massaged.
No, but I mean, it is about resources.
So are they being massaged?
It's about resources, it's about additional capacity. And it's about the extra surgeon, general surgeon.
It's about the extra general surgeon.
We're going to get a letter general hospital. It's going to be the extra best care surgeon. And it's also about, and Desi was talking about the beginning.
With the greatest respect to Joe McHugh, in 2007, Joe McHugh produced a piece of election literature and promised, I think it was either 15 or 17 extra consultants for Letterkenny General Hospital. Here we are. Yeah, that's what it is, Joe. And that's what's on your literature. Joe McHugh, a different kind of politician, will produce 15 or whatever it was. It was either 15 or 17.
Let's take 15 then.
15. But of course, Joe, what Joe has done is we've had disasters playing out that, oh, we're going to lose our breast surgery service in Letterkenny. Yeah. And into the darkness has come the shining light of Joe McHugh. Oh, whoopity-doo, we're going to get you a breast surgeon. But the fact of the matter is that Fine Gael are a party of broken promises as regards healthcare in this country, and you will not find very, very many people in this country who have any confidence whatsoever in Fine Gael.
Ian, Councillor McGarvey.
Yeah, Greg, listen, I would just like to intervene in this whole thing because this is what's developing here, the same as we live in government if this goes on. The same kind of one playing one against the other. My concern is this, the HSE was formed. I think it's a pure monster. Because what we have had represented from Donegal County Council go down the country without any decision-making process. That's the first thing. The other thing, and I know as much about people waiting and so on as anybody, and makes representations for them as well, and I think it's quite sad if anybody is sick that we can't have an open policy whereby, and I met Minister for Healthcare too, in fairness to him, and know him and met him on several occasions. Okay. And just what he would even advocate, stop the people going to Dublin, stop the people going to Galway, treat them here, treat them across border, and the same from Derry to Belfast and so on. This should be an overall programme for this country.
I want to let Deputy McConnell log in briefly, final word from Deputy.
I think you can't take away from the importance actually of leadership at national level and good management in the HSE actually being brought into play in terms of trying to reform our health service. I raised there about 18 months ago at the Spectre in Letterkenny Hospital where 3,000 patients were outsourced from our hospital to other hospitals. It was December the year before last, in an effort actually to massage waiting list. And they were sent they'd been waiting a year to 2 years for outpatient appointments with consultants in Letterkenny. They were sent to other private hospitals to have that appointment in order to try and bring down the waiting list in advance of the year end, right? Do you know what happened? Instead of actually seeing the treatment through with the consultant that they actually saw in a private hospital, they were all referred back to the hospital because the follow-on funding wasn't provided. And then the consultant in Letterkenny had to see them again before they could decide what additional treatment could be taking place. And that's why, when that type of thing is happening and that poor management, it's a very poor use of resources, and it's the public ultimately that suffers.
First of all, the figures are being massaged. The trolley crisis, which has become a national scandal right across the country, has embarrassed the government. So what they've done is they've started to cancel elective surgery.
Are you saying the government's cancelling the surgeries?
There's a direction there.
So
the direction is there to deal with the trolley crisis, which means that the beds that are available that are needed for elective surgery, the people out there who need their surgery are actually being cancelled. We've had consultants in the hospital in Letterkenny come out publicly and slate the government for that purpose and that purpose alone. And in terms of the figures, we have the second highest number of elective surgeries cancelled in the Sealtic group, which is from here to Galway. But what is needed isn't just identifying the problems, we need solutions. And what we're offering, and just let me finish on this here, is a universal healthcare. What that means is free GP care, end of prescription charges, free prescription medication, changing the way that we deal with medicine by allowing pharmacists to deal with minor ailments, restoring the cuts that this government did to rural GPs to actually make sure that rural GPs treat people first and foremost, and then providing the additional bed capacity, the additional consultants and the additional nurses, which have been stripped out of the system to actually deal with their sick people.
Do you want 20 seconds to come back on that?
Around the table, there are challenges, there are issues, and the reason why there's challenges is because it's about a revenue issue, and we need to get more revenue into our health services, and the only way we'll do that is actually by having...
Getting rid of the USC.
Getting rid of the USC, but also by getting more people working. No, 200,000, to getting 200,000 extra people working.
So
additional
should you not then, as a party, be talking about what you're going to invest rather than what you're going to give back? Because polls would tell you that people, they don't necessarily want loads of tax back, they want improved services. Do you get that wrong, that policy of saying, right, well...
No, absolutely not. I'm going around the doorsteps and I'm meeting people, the working person, the working poor, who are paying this US nasty little Fianna Fáil USC tax, and we're going to get rid of it. And there will be, and Pierce knows this, there's a default in over 100,000 for higher earners. But the bottom line here is...
That was a bit of a light effort, wasn't it?
This is about getting extra... You know, we've got 135,000 people extra working in the last
Okay, we're going to talk about tax. I'll tell you what, we're going to talk about tax after we take a commercial break, if that's okay. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Okay, you're very welcome back. Okay, we've discussed health. There's so much you could discuss, but we do have to move on. Maybe we'll have time to go back in a little later on. I'll come to you, Ian, just momentarily, but I'm conscious. Go ahead. Do you want to finish a quick point on that last issue?
Yeah, go ahead. Only briefly. The one thing everybody talks about, money and health, they can't relate the two. I understand that there's 19 billion at one stage in this country here to support health. Now it's apparently 14, 15. The other thing, medical care and prescription charges, I talked to a chemist recently, and he's concerned some people will not. You just imagine per item they're paying 250 instead of 50 previously. This is a real problem. And the chemist was expressing to me, he knows people who needs even heart tablets and all the rest, and they're not picking them up. And it's a real problem. So there's an issue in health. Some of the issues has to be addressed, and there's no alternative, like, and because otherwise it's like euthanasia, as far as I'm concerned, and that's quite serious.
It certainly is. Okay, right. Paula Flanagan of the Green Party, what's your stance on taxation, generally speaking, the USC, water charges, whichever aspect of that you find most pleasurable or offensive?
Well, I suppose we're the party that don't really talk about tax cuts. We're much more about investing in services. So we also, I suppose, are guided by the Fiscal Advisory Council, really, that we don't have the numbers that are being, bandied around or projected. We don't possibly have those numbers. So we'd be sort of looking at keeping things at a fairly steady rate yet, until we know, really, what the future looks like. There are too many unknowns. Mm. We're hearing a lot, for example, this morning about Brexit and so on. So there's things that are unknown. So I think we need to keep paying down our national debt, keep getting into ensuring our services. We've just spent 45 minutes talking about health. We need to be secure our future first.
Okay. Desi Shields, your view on water charges?
I think,
USC, I suppose you want to take both of them.
Yeah, a collection of them. I think in the water charges, it's one of the most petty taxes, along with the local property tax, ever to be brought in this country. It goes back to the days of the bailout, where we allowed the powers that be within Europe to come into Ireland and dictate this here. We had Fianna Fáil signed up for water charges, and Fine Gael and the Labour Party have implemented them. You'll not find anybody out there who has particularly welcomed water charges. The current situation is that they're just what's been collected is more or less covering the cost of it. Originally, the plan was approximately around €600 per household. The water charges, we'll say movement and opposition to them has allowed the charges to be brought down to we'll say a more smaller level. But the reality is out there that, you know, most people's attitudes is that the water meters which have been installed should be consigned to history. They may serve some purpose in the future in relation to perhaps the detection of leaks, but a bit like the voting machines, the whole water charges episode has been a disaster which should be, in my opinion, confined to history, and it would allow the general populace out there some hope that perhaps the politicians are listening to them. And in relation to the USC and in taxation generally, well, again, going back to the austerity and the bailout that has been imposed in the country, most people out there who are working, people with young families, people who are having to go on huge childcare costs, do want a break at this stage as regards the USC. But polls are consistently showing that the public do want more investment in healthcare, proper investment, not just throwing money at it, as some people have mentioned already, but There has to be a balance between the cutting, if we're talking about the USA solely, the cutting of it and also investment in healthcare. I'm probably mid-range in terms of that the USA should be cut, but if we can cut it, with a view to not overcutting it, if we can have investment in healthcare at the same time, that's what I would like to see.
Okay, I'll probably tag the two of those in. We'll maybe separate out to water charges just for now. Deputy McHugh, you're drinking bottled water here because I would be genuinely concerned at giving you an upset stomach. Well, you're drinking coffee, but my point being is I wouldn't vouch for the tap water here. Yet people are being expected to pay for it. What's your view on water charges?
My view has been quite clear and consistent from day one. We campaigned before the last general election that we would introduce water charges.
More water charges, though?
No, before the last general election, we'd introduce water charges. Now, we've put our hand up at the midterm. We put our hand up. We've made mistakes. There were two very, very genuine...
Well, you had to put your hand up because the streets of Dublin were full of people who said we're not paying them.
Yeah, but even, people demonstrated, but on the doorsteps during the local elections, people were saying there were fears around privatisation and also fears around affordability. So they're the two issues that I'm very focused on. But I looked at my own background where I was reared in a farm where we always paid water rates. Business people in Letterkenny here in different towns paid water rates.
So you think everyone should pay?
Yeah, I think it's a tax that needs to be brought in because, you know, somebody said to me, like, water is important, and there are people, as you say, with poor quality water at the moment that are paying water charges, but we need to invest, and
not already paying for water through road tax, though? I know it's an often used expression, but I mean, is it not 66% or something of road tax goes to...
I mean, 1977, when Fianna Fáil took away the rates, obviously the car tax then was upped
You're saying that's untrue.
I think like, you know, that was going back to 1977, but I think what's needed in this debate about water charges...
So there's
charges,
no point really talking about the USC because that was introduced sometime in the past.
Well, it was introduced.
Is if you just say everything was in the pasture and...
No, but it's about like, as I say, going back to my upbringing where I learned to respect water because we paid for water and people respect water and people value water, but where
leakage is on farmland, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but the debate is very polarised, and what I'd be saying to the people that have a serious difficulty with this issue, it's up to us as a government, if we get re-elected, to ensure that we address those concerns.
But you think you handled it wrong?
I think we made mistakes.
And do you think still having private company at the bottom of Irish Water's website is an ongoing mistake, just if you're trying to sort of in a PR situation?
No, I think, look, even community development groups have to...
Okay.
Constitutional...
I'm just saying, if you think about PR,
it's not privatised.
Thomas Pringle?
Now, Joe's just outlined there the only promise that Fine Gael kept after the last general election was that they would introduce water charges, which they have done.
We'd try to sort out the country as well. That's the only promise I made in the
You haven't delivered on that one.
It's not fixed, but it's a lot better than it was. The one promise
that you did make was that you would bring in water tax.
We lost 300,000 jobs up to 210 under Fianna Fáil. We've gained 135.
There's
a recovery in certain parts, but there's a lot of parts of this country.
Where's the recovery in this county?
Well, 1,000 extra jobs through the IDA-supported jobs, 58%
increase. What about the net loss of jobs?
I was in Urres there at the weekend where people who had their livelihood salmon fishing that was closed down by Fianna Fáil. So, you know, there are still issues in this county, and there are issues. And when you try to close down a country and close down a county, it's very hard to get it back on track.
I talked over you there, Deputy Pringle.
Yeah, it just would be hard to explain to this almost 17,000 people on the live register in Donegal that there's a recovery taking place here. But in relation to the water tax, this government has to get people to accept a bill coming through their door for the water tax. And the fact is that we do already pay for it. In 1997, there was legislation brought in that assigned some of the car tax and VAT towards the cost of contributing to water. But this government needs people to accept a bill coming through their door because ultimately then they will be able to privatise it. And that's what the ultimate aim is.
Completely opposed to it.
I'm completely opposed to the water tax and completely opposed to the privatisation of our natural resource. If the government wanted to actually allay people's fears, they could have had a referendum last year and enshrined it in the Constitution. Instead, what they did is they brought in a piece of legislation which said that there would have to be a referendum if they decided to do it in the future. But that legislation can be amended in the morning.
I'm going around the table here now. Deputy Doherty, your party stands on this What is it?
Oh, well, very clear.
I'm not telling people. You
you can just look a couple of miles across the border when we got into the executive in 2007, despite the fact that the British government had already signed contracts for water meter installation and water charges were to be rolled out. We got in there in 2007. We halted water charges.
What are you going to do in the 26 counties?
So in the 26 counties, we're going to do exactly the same thing. Within the first item on our agenda, if we get elected as part of the Right to Change movement into government, will be to abolish water charges.
And those people who maybe agree with that but inadvertently paid, or the money started to be, you're going to give that money back?
No, we have been very upfront and honest with people who have already paid their water charges. We do not have the capacity to reimburse you the money that you've been paid, but what we can say to you is that will be the last bill that you'll ever have to pay in relation to water charges. For those that haven't paid their water charges, we will not pursue them through the courts as Fine Gael plan to do in the next number of months in relation to
unpaid
bills.
So what do you do with Irish Water?
What we do with Irish Water is exactly the same thing we were going to do with what we did with NI Water. You take it, you abolish Irish Water for a start. Let me finish, Joe. You have a referendum. You have a referendum to enshrine the right to water in the constitution, which Fine Gael voted against the Sinn Féin legislation last year in the Dáil Éireann. And in relation to what do you do with an entity that actually needs to invest in Irish Water, you actually set up an entity under the Department of Environment that will the jobs transfer over. Because there will be no billing, there will be no metering, and there will be no wastage of consultancy money like yous have done, and half a billion euro that yous have wasted installing meters that yous aren't even using.
You'll keep all the jobs.
No, because not only that, Joe, we are going to invest 900...
Let me finish,
because I want to educate you on this. We're going to invest 900 million euro additional into water service in the county so that we can actually have sewage schemes in Gidor, so we can allow people to build their houses in Mount Charlotte. What we will do is establish because there will be no metering and there will be no billing. And I know that that's something that you don't want to hear. But I was on the streets of Dublin just at the weekend with tens of thousands of people who are determined to put this government out of office and to elect a Right to Change candidates. And we have six of them in this county, so we're spoiled for choice.
Okay.
So we can get rid of the water charges and get rid of the property charges and invest properly in public services.
Fianna Fáil have something a confusing policy on this, because I thought the word, a word abolish, Daphne McConnell might get rid of, but it's abolished for 5 years.
No, we're going to abolish Irish Water and do away with the charge, Greg. But if anything,
what was this 5 year?
For a wee while.
Well,
I'm confused.
Anyone can only deal with the 5 years and the mandate in which you're looking for.
You can't. You've made it clear that you're going to reintroduce water charges.
I find it very interesting to hear Pierce here, for example, who indicated, Greg, he was going to pay his water charge. As did his deputy party leader, Mary Lou McDonald and Gerry Adams, and only laterally then decided that they weren't going to. And also, it's interesting to see him claim credit for actually having no water charge in the north, despite the fact that people pay for water charges and rates
They do not.
And we see him.
Just
address the 5 year thing, because to be honest with you, a lot of people are frustrated with the fact that you're voting. And it's in terms of 5 years, and there's no forward planning beyond that. What happens beyond the 5 years? Let's just say, hypothetically, you were elected into government, and then they did it again.
Just to finish the point, and I will deal with that, Greg, but to finish the point, Pierce made great inroads or yardage there in terms of actually trying to take credit for no water charge to the north, and their influence in relation to that. Yet he tries to have it the other way when you look at the fact that they've tried to close schools in Northern Ireland, they've cut welfare rates, they've
missed all the services. There's half a billion euro investment in education in the north.
He says that it has nothing to do with that, okay? No, but to go back to you're closing the schools in Northern Ireland, but you won't take credit for it.
Half a billion euro additional investment in education in the north.
There's nothing to do with water charges, which is the issue.
The reality is you're an austerity party.
Excuse me, no one can hear anything. Just very briefly, yes or no, have you closed in school? Is your party closing schools?
We put half a billion euro additional investment.
Have they closed any schools?
No, not that I know of.
Not
that
he doesn't know of any schools.
Unless the population falls within it.
Can I be helpful here? No, it's a fight between Charlie and Pierce, but can I be... I think the figure is 65. I think it's about 65 schools.
65,
yeah. But I stand to be corrected here, but I think...
Well, we can fact-check that one.
There's half a billion euro investment in education.
Okay, well, maybe it's been... If there's 65 school closures, maybe it's been spent in the wrong places, no?
Keep going on.
Okay, we will keep going on. Just very... very briefly, what about this 5-year plan? What does abolish and five years mean?
Let me be very clear on what it means. Yeah. We're going to abolish Irish Water.
For 5 years or
we're
forever?
Going to abolish Irish Water.
Okay.
And we're going to return the maintenance of Irish Water to the County Council staff who originally did it. We're also going to do away with the charge, and we're going to put... We're going to do it the way with the charge.
Okay, Councillor Gordon, we have to move on.
The people of Donegal deserve the truth. The people of Donegal deserve the truth because you have been spinning like mad for the last number of months.
There is no point speaking over each other because no one can hear anything. I'll go round if that's okay.
I'll sit up and ring you outside in a minute. What I was going to say about water charges. My understanding is, and anybody here that's in government or otherwise can correct me if I'm wrong, this is one country that had exemption from water charges under 9.4 Act 2 from Europe. Now, how they come then to eventually introduce them, I don't know, because they had the opportunity of addressing the problem. Now, the other thing, when you refer to Donegal County Council, it was costing Donegal County Council $19 million to maintain it and keep things standing.
To maintain what?
The water services.
When?
And the county.
But they get that refunded from Irish Water,
But previous to Irish Water taking over.
Okay.
So if you're returning back to local authorities, I think they have a dilemma because they were making no progress whatsoever.
Well, are you in favour of Irish Water and paying your water rates?
I paid my water rates, but I'm not in favour of... And you know what's more annoying for me today? For the people who have paid their money honestly up front to the government to maintain services for people and now not pay them back again.
Paula
and then
Flanagan,
give everybody free.
Yeah, so, of the Green Party.
Yeah, the Green Party.
I think it's terrible.
Our policy is very much around the fairness, conservation and infrastructure. So those folks that have paid, like, let's be fair to them as well. Let's use the infrastructure that we have in there. Let's use the meters. Why not have everybody has an allowance and we'll agree what that allowance is. And we need to be talking about the conservation of water. Look, 5 years from now, we don't know what the water is going to be like.
But we can't conserve almost 50% of the water we process. So let alone...
Exactly. That's the point about infrastructure. We need to really get this hammered down. What do we do with the sewage outlets?
So would you would retain water charges to pay for the infrastructure?
A fair charge.
Okay.
We only charge for the waste of water.
Councillor Desi Shields has been waiting very patiently. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Greg. I think fundamentally what most people in Donegal have had a problem with water charges, you look at the situation in Letterkenny. We have a main water supply serving 20,000 people, and the Environmental Protection Agency have been forced to take Irish Water and Donegal County Council to court in relation to the quality of the water supply in Letterkenny, and that's something that's been going on, you know, out in Churchill, Rathmullen, places very nearby where we're sitting tonight. The water is discoloured. It's got all sorts of chemicals in it and things which shouldn't be in. There's some people talk about them being cancer causing and whatever else.